You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the Mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the Doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're continuing our conversation of pans and the impacts on the family as a whole. And today we're talking about extended family and friends. And this is one place that we're probably not going to bring it back to homeopathy, because you can't really do anything other than like share information with people that are not in your immediate family about homeopathy. And one, hope that they even understand, and two, take action. So we're probably not going to be talking about all the ways that homeopathy can help with your narcissistic brother-in-law or your demanding mother-in-law or anything like that. What we can talk about today is ways that PANS impacts the extended family, and the way that the extended family, including friends, impacts the way that you experience PANS as a family who's dealing with it. And then maybe even, Jody, how about talking about how to talk to these people about both PANS and homeopathy? Because if somebody is embracing homeopathy as a pivotal part of their recovery plan from PANS, being able to talk to the people around them about it can be difficult sometimes if they don't really understand it, since it's not a commonly used therapy, although it's becoming more and more common. And it's not really well understood by the general population. So where would you like to start as the person who has had the most experience and been the most impacted by this?
I think that just like from the very beginning, as I was trying to figure out what was going on with Avery, and weird things were showing up and happening, and like my first little bits of communication with my extended, my immediate family, like, you know, my mom, dad, siblings, it just instantly felt really awkward. Mm-hmm. And for the same reason too, I think I was self-conscious, because I had, you know, I was taking Avery to doctors and the doctors weren't believing me. I was talking to Avery school and they weren't really seeing the same things that I was seeing. And then now I'm talking to my family, and I probably felt like I was being more judged than I actually was, especially with my immediate family, because they're all, you know, very loving and accepting. But I also felt like there's just like, there's no way you can believe what I'm saying. And I kind of get that. And so that was the beginning of it. And then the deeper we got into it, the more I like dove into research, and I got like completely bananas, and my whole world got swallowed by PANS. And it quickly became the only thing that I could talk about. There was nothing else in my world at the time. And so that's when, you know, the extended family and friends, like it started to kind of have a little bit of an impact. And I don't think that I experienced it anywhere near as bad as some moms and dads do. But there was still, there was separation that happened. I felt like the further that we got into PANS, the smaller our world got, just because I spent so much time trying to manage things when we were around family or friends. I was just literally exhausted, because I was trying to stay in front of symptoms and, you know, make sure the rage doesn't happen, make sure the, like all the food is situated. And, like it became really exhausting to me. And so I slowly, over time, I think I isolated us more than anybody being like, yeah, no, we're not hanging out with you because this is just crazy. It was me isolating out of like, I just didn't feel like anybody was going to believe me. Yeah. They just didn't. I mean, everything was so crazy, like I said.
Yeah. So what you just described is what I'm understanding from it. Lots of different ways that PANS families can be affected by this. So you can be affected by having kids that are in the state or have the level of symptoms that they can hold it together in certain situations, but it's cuckoo bananas bonkers at home.
Yeah.
And so then you're like trying to get some, be able to share about like your challenges and your struggles that you're having, and people are looking at you like, what is going on? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Or you can be in the place where your kiddos just cannot hold it together. And then you're looked at like you're a bad parent, because why are you not managing or disciplining your child better?
Yeah.
And then you, when that's the case, like, well, if realistically in both situations, a lot of times people have their ideas and they start coming to you with recommendations about what medications you should be on or what type of therapy you should use or try this thing or try that thing. Right. Did you have any of that experience with your family?
Or family? I didn't, like I said, I have a really supportive family, and they didn't know what the heck was going on, but I think any of the judgment that I felt was likely self-inflicted.
Yeah.
I know so many people have like get it big time, especially in the like, there are so many, I think, people who think that PANS is a behavioral problem. And that's like one of the biggest struggles with the extended family and friends. When Avery had PANS, to the outsider that doesn't know what PANS is, I looked like a horrible parent. Mm-hmm. My kid was raging and I let her rage. That's how I had to do it, because our rules are, PANS rules are different. We had to do it differently. You know, she's screaming, freaking out about not having something that she shouldn't have. She's going to get it. Like, we're trying not to make it like I looked like a bad parent. PANS looks like bad parenting. It looks like a bad child. There's no way around that. So it's, I know that there are other families that go through this, like bad parent, you need to do this, you need to do that. You need to put them on this psychiatric medication. You need to have this kind of counseling. And it's just hard because the rest of the world outside of the PANS world doesn't understand that, you know, this is something that's happening to our children. This is inflammation. This is not our children's behavior. It's not our parenting style. It's something, it's infection driven. It's not something that anybody, parents, child, has control of. And so it's just, that's such a hard thing to navigate when you get folks that are really judgmental and aren't willing to bend, right? Because, you know, when we're thrust into this PANS world, what we know has to change. It's like parents go through this process of understanding that our kid doesn't suddenly have behavioral problems. Our kid doesn't suddenly have a cussing problem. Our kid doesn't all of a sudden just rage. And that's just who they are, and they're a bad kid. It's not that. It's not who our healthy children don't behave like this. And so I think extended family members also have to kind of come along in that understanding of and acceptance of something that they don't understand yet. I'm kind of rambling.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, before we go into like the talking, how to talk to people about this, and like any advice that you have on talking about both PANS and about homeopathy, let's also acknowledge that on the other side, you know, lots of moms, lots of humans, not just moms, but lots of humans do not have the same ability that you, Jody, have to be a stoic person and to armor up and just like tuck it in and I'm going to take care of this. A lot of people are themselves really significantly impacted and get quite depressed, quite anxious, you name it. And it's hard to suppress, and it's hard to like hold it together when you are exhausted. You get no time to yourself. You get no self-care. You're barely eating. You're barely sleeping, because every moment that your child is quiet and asleep, you're spending researching, figuring out how to get your kid out of this hell that they're in. And so a lot of parents have shared with me that when, especially if their kid is in the place that they can hold it together anywhere except for home, like when they're in their safe space, that they let it all out, what they've been trying so hard to hold together for so long throughout their day, that the parents end up being told like, oh, this is, you just need to get on Xanax, or you need to use, you know, Zoloft or whatever, you know, you name your psychotropic medication of choice. And they start to look askance at the parent, and like some parents, even to the point that they're, it's suggested that they have Munchausen by proxy, you know, and that they're either making up you know, like fictitious disease, that they're making up a disease in their child to get attention, and that they're doing something to get attention. It happens to a decent number of parents. And then people can sometimes also, like some impacts with extended family or friends, is that people on the outside starting to bear witness to like the changing dynamics and like the ways, all the ways that are impacting the family, you know, like the sudden like reclusiveness, loss of jobs, not showing up to things, like trying different therapies when something that is commonly used doesn't work, or even, you know, if they've happened upon a medical institution or information site that is not quite accepting of PANS as a legitimate diagnosis, really starting to look at you a little bit differently and wondering if you are harming the child, and then maybe getting a little bit nosier than is warranted, and potentially even in some cases calling authorities on people. Like I've had lots of people who've had visits from Child Protective Services because of choices that they're making to try and help their child, and things being like people being threatened with losing custody of their children because of that. So that's a far extreme. It's very rare that I've heard that happen, but it does happen. So if somebody is in that position or that has had that experience, or somebody who's listening to this and has considered whether or not they need to call Child Protective Services, I mean, it's a dicey place to walk, because some kids really do need help because their parents really are harming them. In my experience, that's not been the case with kids who have PANS, that their parents are desperately looking for a solution to get their kids help. They're beyond caring and not the reverse. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about PANS. So how did you, when you first figured out that what was going on with Avery, how did you talk to your family and friends about it?
I am sure I butchered it because I didn't fully understand it, but I will say the same book that I read to my kids, I took it to my parents and I had them read it, like the little kids book explaining what was going on. And I feel like that helped them more than anything. To
you remember the name of that book?
Something, a pickle in a pickle.
Oh, in a pickle over pandas.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. We'll put a link to it in the show notes to make sure that we got it right too.
Yep. So that one, I let them read it, and that was that was about the extent of them. I remember talking to my parents and telling them about what was going on with Avery and what she was going through. And, you know, they're just like, okay, like, and again, I was very fortunate, had very supportive immediate family that, you know, was like, okay, what, like, how can we help? So it is really hard to explain something that you don't understand. And so I struggled a whole lot. And it took, Avery was one of those kiddos that she could control it. Like she was embarrassed by a lot of her symptoms, and she would try really hard to control them in front of people. But like with my mom coming over for a while, Avery could control it in front of her, but then eventually it got to the point where she just couldn't, or my mom was at our home where Avery was the most comfortable and had the most issues. And so they would start to see like little bits and pieces, and I would just kind of talk them through like what that looks like and how it's happening. And I don't know that they understood, but they were like, okay.
Yeah. So we have a couple of episodes earlier that you can check out to get some insights in how to talk about PANS and pandas. Maybe some of the ways that we had talked about it in those episodes could be helpful. So some of the earlier ones, if you're new to us, those could be good to check out. What about when you started talking about homeopathy?
It was like the same thing. Yeah. It was exactly the same. It's funny because I was so confused about homeopathy. I didn't know why I was there, what I was doing, other than I knew that I wanted to heal Avery's body. But again, my whole family, like we did mainstream medical, and that's what we knew, all of us. We were not brought up in any type of natural medicine world or homeopathic medical world. And so it was the same thing. I was like, it's just like I told my husband, I don't know, but this is where I'm being led and I have to go there. And it doesn't make any sense. And I just need you to hang in there with me and support me. And then they started to understand it a little bit better as Avery was going through healing and they were seeing shifts too. And then we got to the point where, you know, it was time for Avery to go and stay with my mom. And I'm like, okay, here are these little pellets. And I'm going to explain to you what, like, and so actually doing it herself, my mom was able to see it. And she's like, whoa, this stuff is crazy. Mm-hmm. This is wild how much of an impact it can have on her. I just, again, did my best to explain what we were doing, and they didn't understand it, but, you know, they were willing to support what I was doing.
Homeopathy is one of those tricky things. So like, even as somebody who, you know, I've been using homeopathy for myself, for my own recovery for 15 years now, almost over 14, for sure, between 14 and 15 years. And I've been practicing homeopathy, you know, like in training, and then, you know, over a decade now since I graduated, and I still struggle sometimes to explain it to people. I think that you can swing from one end of like not sharing enough to like sharing too much. And how to simplify it, and the challenge is too that like the reality is you have to meet people where they're at. And that's going to be different for different people. You know, some people have never heard of homeopathy and they gratefully and willingly accept it's a natural substance that is used to stimulate the body's self-healing mechanism. And sometimes that's enough. And sometimes people know more about the like versus or like cures like principle or the ultra dilutions that are used in homeopathy and have an opinion already or like skepticism. I was one of those people. And so it was hard for me to understand homeopathy. And I was very, did not embrace it at all until I ran out of options and saw what it could do for me. And then, of course, because I'm a scientist at heart, I want to learn and understand more and more about how it works and why and what's going on in the body. And so sometimes I personally can get a little overboard with how things work. And so I'm saying all of this to just acknowledge that no matter where you're at on the spectrum of your understanding of homeopathy, if you're talking to somebody else about it, it's a conversation, right? It's the intersection of two. It's not just what you know, and it's not just what they know. It's that where that intersection is. And so every conversation about it is probably going to be a little bit different, to be perfectly honest. Anything else that we should really touch on with the impacts on friends and family? What about like, what about once healing happened? Like what sort of things shifted as your kiddos, both of them, I mean, one with PANS, one not so much, but little touches of it. How much did their healing change relationships with your extended family and friends or chosen family?
I think that my kiddos' relationships didn't change that much. They were younger when they were going through it. I personally feel like the bit of judgment that was coming in my direction changed into, okay, like, whoopsie, she was really literally in the process of figuring something out. And I don't want to say she was right, but that feels boastful or something, but almost a, and I know we're going to talk more about the husband stuff, but it's kind of like the same thing with my husband. I think there was this like deeper level of trust and understanding of like what I'm trying to do as a mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense. But as we got further and further into healing and the girls both started doing significantly better, I feel like there were a lot of, not as much family, but friends that were like all of a sudden willing to open their mind and talk to me about this thing that they wouldn't be like, oh, okay. Like, tell me about homeopathy. What were y'all doing? Like, 'cause this is wild. And I feel like I sort of took the, instead of forcing homeopathy on anybody, I just kind of took the approach of like, we'll just let them see, right? I don't have to force them to understand it or why I'm doing it. We'll just let them see. And that's exactly what happened. They saw it. And then they were like, what's this stuff? And they were a little more willing to learn.
You know, you just said something that triggered a thought in me. So I'm going to run with it. You said your kids' relationships didn't really change. And we didn't really mention that, like, for a lot of people, the kids' relationships do change. Like, a lot of kids lose friends because of the way
that they're,
what they're going through. Other kids don't understand it. You know, kids are less able to rationally think through everything that's going on, logically think through, have compassion. Even, you know, the healthiest kids dealing with somebody who's even slightly different, like they can be brutal sometimes. So let's just face it. And so friendships and navigating friendships for Pan's kid can be brutal. Mm-hmm. And it's also true that especially for an older kiddo with Pan's, if they do have relationships and friendships, they want to cling to them so much that the friendship sometimes even can be part of the challenge with getting those kiddos buy-in and participation with homeopathy, because it's different than what their friends are doing. None of their friends are taking these little pills. None of them know what homeopathy is. And so it can contribute to some of the challenges. Maybe we should get one of our episodes with our guest host that we've got coming up. We should get one with kiddos to come and talk to us about how both they've navigated friendships and then how they've talked to people about homeopathy and if it comes up. Because we've talked about that in some of our videos that we've done in our Facebook group, which again, if you're not a member, you should become a member. It's Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, link in the show notes. So we've got a lot of videos with kids that are sharing about that and talking about their experience with friendships, navigating friendships with Pans and Pandas and with homeopathy. And we've got some videos on our YouTube page, our YouTube channel that are from, well, there's one from, what was it, 2021, I think, or 2022, where we had families coming in and sharing, like answering three questions mm-hmm. about their experience with Pans, Pandas and homeopathy. And several of them had kids come on too, and they talked about it. And so I think that can also be helpful. That one's only available on our YouTube channel. So there's a lot of great stuff that we put there only on the YouTube channel. So that's a great thing to go subscribe to as well. I'll put that in the link in the show notes as well. Anything else that we should really touch on about the broader impacts of Pans Pandas on relationships with the extended family or the extended family impacts on Pans Pandas? There we go. I knew I needed to jog my mind about something. Dealing with things like family gatherings and holidays. Well, I'm sure we'll have an episode at some point about managing holidays. I don't think we've already done that. But we've definitely talked about it in the Facebook group regularly about how to navigate those types of things where we've got like a family Christmas or something and, you know, Aunt Flo or whatever doesn't really accept or acknowledge what you've got. And you can just have a little bit of this thing that you're like, absolutely not. This will trigger a flare. And so, they can have a little bit of this gluten, dairy, red dye filled sugar bomb. And so anything you want to share there, Jody, about navigating those things when you still have to go and be involved in situations, mm-hmm. but people are not accepting of what your family's needs are.
Yeah. We already had so much dietary stuff before Pans happened that my family knew, like, you don't touch that, leave it alone. Like, I'll feed my family. One thing that we did do for a while, which was really nice, and I think this was a product of me asking for it to happen. was, what was it? Oh my gosh, it like completely left my mind. Like we would, cause during family gatherings, there's so much chaos and craziness going on. Like we would sit down, even if it was just myself and the girls, we would sit down and eat before everyone else. And I know that is not like the traditional way of doing things. But when Avery was at her worst, it was so helpful not to have her sitting at a table full of people that were eating, both of my kids. They weren't sitting at a table of people that had like a mound of mashed potatoes and dressing and cranberries and desserts and all of this. Us eating at different time, it was just what worked for us, and it needed to be different. Us having, regardless of whose house we went to, us having a safe space that we could move to if we needed a minute. Like that was a request that I would make before. And so just kind of like whatever your kid needs for whatever they have going on, ask for that stuff. I wish I would have asked for more. I didn't, because I was I always want to please everybody and make everybody happy and make it as easy as possible on everybody. I could have asked for, you know, other things that would have made things a little bit easier. Like, you know, if we need to just up and leave, we need to up and leave. And if we can do that without judgment, that would be really nice. Because if we're leaving, it's bad enough that we need to be leaving. So I think like talking to your family about stuff like that is, you know, helpful.
To quote Brené Brown, who is obviously brilliant and insightful, clear is kind, and setting boundaries is clear. And so setting boundaries is a kindness. And so sitting down and reflecting on what your family needs in this particular moment with this particular setting, because it's going to change. That's the other thing too, is like what works for you today is not going to be what works for you tomorrow. And hopefully tomorrow you need less accommodations than you need today, but it might be that you just have a hard day and that you need a little bit more. And so setting aside a minute or two, either the night before or the morning of, before you go somewhere. And so you can be very clear, I need this, 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 and this, because we're having a hard time. And so these are things that you might see, and these are ways that you can support me. Putting it out there doesn't mean you're going to receive it, but at the very least you've asked for it and you have set the clear understanding of where your family is and what your child is going through, so that the family members who you might have some challenges with have been warned and given a heads up about what's going on. And then it's up to them to make those choices for how they're going to respond and deal with you. And then you can just know, I gave them the information, they decided not to, and then do your best to let it go and not worry, like just recognize that if they're struggling to give you the support that you need, that's really about them, not about you. And let it go so that you don't turn it into self-judgment or let it fester as anger either.
Yeah. I think it's important to defend our kids whenever it's necessary. I had one instance where I was like, oh yeah, like I can't not mama bear here, because someone was trying to discipline my child for something that she did not need to be disciplined for. I don't even think if it was a non-PANS kid, they should have been disciplined, but regardless, it was my kid. And it just like happened, and then it happened again, and then it happened again. And it was like, you know what? Okay, I get it. I'm not supposed to talk to this person like this because I am supposed to respect them and all of that. But in that moment, I needed to defend Avery because I need to help this person understand that it's not their place. Yeah. But I need to also help them understand that this is not something we're going to discipline Avery out of. Like what you're trying to do right now isn't going to help anything. You're disciplining inflammation in her brain right now. That's like it's not possible. And so I think it's important to if you have someone that's unruly or is overstepping your boundaries, whatever they might be at the time, that we speak up for our children and we not just let somebody go at them that doesn't get it. I think it's important to do that for our kids.
I'll support you 100% there, because these kids, you know, having talked to hundreds of them at this point, I know that the way people react to them sticks to them a little bit. And every time they have a negative reaction with people, especially people that they're supposed to look up to or respect or whatever, it eats away a little bit more at their confidence, at the way that they see themselves. And it turns into, instead of being a kid who has this bad thing happening to them, it turns into them being a bad kid. And every time that a mother stands up, or a father stands up, a parent stands up and says, no, that's not right, this is my kid is okay, or this is not their fault, can help take away, like fill that chip back in, like, okay, somebody understands. And the reality is that I can't speak for every parent, but me as a parent, the most important relationship in my whole life will forever be my daughter and my relationship. And so I don't care if I damage my relationship with somebody else who is important to me, if it further improves my relationship with my daughter. I'm obviously not going to go around like stomping on every relationship and saying, you don't matter, you don't matter, you don't matter, because I do know the importance of a village and the importance of entire family. But I will never not stand up for my daughter. And my daughter doesn't even have PANS. And hopefully we avoid that, even though she is at a higher risk for PANS because of me and my brother. But yeah, just to back you up, that every chance that we get to defend these kids, I try to take.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to, like, I am very, like, I was very blessed to have a family that was supportive going through this. And I communicate with so many families. And again, I got to go back to homeopathy, that are going through this healing journey, but at the same time, they're trying to figure out how to fight their family on this. Yeah. And I think it's, like, I know we have to do family. And that's just part of it. We can't just completely run away from everyone, but I think that this, it's really important to understand that, you know, while your child is healing, you are literally in the battle of your child's life, right? It is you and your child fighting like hell to heal their body. The outside noise is not good for you. The negativity, that energy, that distraction, I think that, and I didn't have this with family. I did a tiny bit with some friends, but like I put it down. And I didn't have time for that. I don't have time to fight you, pardon me, to understand PANS. I don't have time to fight you to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing to treat my child. I just either need you to support me and allow me to focus on this thing I need to focus on, or I just need you to step back for a little bit. And so I think it's okay to take a step back if you need to. You know, your family's gonna be there. They're gonna love you. They're gonna see your kiddo come out of this. And things change, relationships heal and mend as time goes on, but we just don't have time to focus on anything, anyone that isn't bringing positivity or good things to our world. It's just a distraction from what we need to be doing to heal our children. And I think too, like, cause I know we have other people listening to this other than PANS parents. If you are a grandparent, extended family member, I get that it's really hard to understand all of this. I get that my extended family for a long time didn't see what was going on with Avery. They just, they didn't experience it because she would hide it from them. What I was telling them was happening. What your family member is telling you is happening. And they have no control over it. None of us. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of us families that are experiencing this with our children, and we get it. We know it doesn't make sense. what we need is just from you as we go through it, as our children heal, we need unconditional love and support, even if we're not asking for it. I am not a person that receives help and support well. I don't ask for it because I don't know how. I didn't ask for any help whatsoever throughout PANS. I needed so much help. And I think it is so traumatic that most families don't even know what they need for help. Help looks like a meal. Help looks like laundry. Help looks like, hey, how you doing? Help looks like, come and sit on my patio with me after my kids go to bed and have a glass of wine with me.
Help looks like just doing something and not asking what you can do or saying, I'm here if you need anything. Because that's asking somebody to ask you for something that they may or may not know. And then also probably feel guilty because parents of kids with PANS are going through a whole lot of guilt and a whole lot of feelings of failure in many cases. Like, how am I not able to do this? How can I not manage this? What am I doing wrong? And so asking somebody what you can do to help isn't helping as much as just showing up and doing the thing.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast the other day and the speaker on it said, when a mother tells you something is wrong with her child, you believe her, period. You believe her. And so if you have a family member or friend telling you that there's something wrong with her child, she's telling you the truth. If you don't understand homeopathy or the route that, you know, healing is happening, it's okay. You don't have to understand it. You just have to support. If you can just unconditionally love your family member through this, it is so, so beneficial. Me having the loving, supporting people that I had in my life, it was like my little lifeline. It was my little reprieve. I had zero break managing three kids, absolute crazy insanity. My mom calls. That was my one tiny 5-minute break that day from somebody that wasn't judging me. She was just there calling to check and see how I was doing. Number one absolute best thing that you can do is just support without judgment.
Well, we went a little longer than we anticipated, that we typically expect or want to, but hopefully this really was a good insight into some of the ways that you can set some good boundaries with your family and friends, ways that you can work on nurturing or repairing those relationships. And maybe even just the last little bit from Jody, speaking to the family on your behalf, maybe just sharing that little part from might help make a difference for people to hear it from somebody else. So hopefully you found this to be a helpful episode. And our next episode, we're going to probably go on longer than we expect to as well, because we're talking about PANS and marriage, which I always feel like there's not a lot to say, but as soon as we start talking, there is a lot more to say than we think about. So I know that that's a really big topic, because having kids alone is hard on a marriage, and having a PANS kid is exceptionally hard on a marriage. So hopefully you guys will join us then.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and Pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.